people ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
That's the signal right there. I mean, send in a run or a pass. You never know really what you're going to get. There's going to be probably an audible.
You just know I'm coming.
I just know that Tom Schreier's in the room.
He's coming.
Cold Omaha's Tom Schreier. And so welcome to the show, sir. And as always, we enjoy having you come in. And hey, settle down. Sorry, it's not that funny, Tom. That you're here is not a funny thing.
I'm always here because I'm in that computer.
I love that laugh. So infectious.
It's good stuff.
Laughing at myself.
Well, I mean, that's
funny. You made it funny.
I think it's pretty incredible. I was reading your article that you wrote in.
You can read?
Yeah. Yeah.
Since when?
I don't know. It's something that just kind of came.
It's my writing. I just connect with the superstar.
Okay, gotcha. Because normally I'm the one that has to help you sound out the words and go slow.
Well, it's been remarkable how well I've picked up over the last say like 3 or 4 days, and I've gotten just past that level of like Cat in the Hat and
Tom Schreier's stuff.
And the Tom Schreier article would be like next. But man alive, Kevin Garnett, he understands his role here. Does he? Where he wants to be? You tell me. Well, tell me what you wrote.
Well, here's the thing. I think he knows that, first of all, how good he is at this point, and I think he's in decline. And now, actually, having seen him essentially not play for a while, you kind of wonder how much longer he's actually going to be on the roster. I think his role, and I think it's kind of where Flip Saunders is at as well, knowing what we know about Flip, and I think this has kind of come up very recently, that Flip's system really is kind of anti-three-pointer. We don't get a lot of three-point shots. And in the modern NBA, with advanced stats, kind of like how they've kind of influenced baseball, we've learned they really should be taking three-point shots. And really, the only people you want mid-range are probably elbow shots from your big guys. I mean, that's about it. And so I think the reason why they're there, it's not as though Kevin Garnett can offer what Garnett offered when he was here before. And I think Flip Saunders, at a certain point, has to find kind of a forward-thinking coach that also relates to his players and works within the system and understands what they're doing here in Minnesota. What I think they're doing right now is getting their hands dirty. And they're saying, you know, Garnett can say, hey, I played with Wiggins when he was young, and I played with, you know, LaVine and Shabazz, and kind of, and this is what I was thinking about when I was writing this article, how many of these guys that Kevin Garnett's going to play with, regardless of if, you know, his last game is at the end of this year, or he ends up playing 2 more years, which looks more and more unlikely at this point, how many of these guys are actually going to be playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves kind of going forward? You know, like Chase Budinger is probably not. Robbie Hummel, I think, with his injury history, is probably not. The one kind of controversial guy in there, when Sam Ekstrom edited this, he said, you know, do you really think Gary Neal's going to be around? And I said, well, I'm just surprised that they didn't buy him out. He's in the last year of his contract. He didn't seem like he wanted to be here. And that's a guy that Flip, at the very least, just having been spending so much time around him, and he's very much a talker. It's almost 10 minutes every time you interview him. He just seems to really love Gary Neal. So, that's a guy, maybe not. But I think Shabazz is definitely a big part of this. I think he's a great player.
Me
I think
too.
He's really evolved. And this is a guy that Flip can take pride in, because people said, don't draft him. He's going to be trouble. And he's brought him in and he's made it work, which gives me more confidence that a guy like Zach LaVine, who people are saying raw talent but a one-trick pony, he's fun before the games, he can throw down the dunks, not going
to
do much.
He's starting to shoot, though. If he plays his natural position of shooting guard, and we don't have Flip doesn't stuff him into the point guard position because we just lack bodies. And back to the three-point position, too. We just don't really have three-point shooters. I mean, we have Kevin Martin, and Gary Neal has been hot and cold.
No.
He's had probably his worst year from beyond the arc. Chase Budinger's been injured. Who else on this team can shoot three-pointers? Nobody else really can.
Well, and one good point that's come up is with Flip's coaching style. I think Britt Robson wrote this for Min Post. Wiggins actually shot well kind of early in his, you know, when he broke out. And then because they're not in a system where they're creating and manufacturing anything for Wiggins, basically Flip has been very tough on Wiggins just in the media.
Good.
And should then be. He's, and I think that's good. I think he's treating him almost like a son, where he's like, I'm going to give you some tough love. You know what I mean? But what he's not doing is manufacturing 3-point shots. So Wiggins is essentially, it's almost like because he's not doing it, he's not developing that part of his game. There is, as much as I like what Flip's vision is, and I like how assertive he's been, And I really hope that he kind of takes the, as much as there's frustration with what Terry Ryan has done in terms of baseball moves, he should take the position Terry Ryan has where he comes down with the media and says, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it, and this tells me that, hey, they have a plan. I hope even when he hires a coach that Flip's still the face of it. Remember, he's not actually the GM, but we think of him as the GM because he's kind of the face of the Timberwolves. And so I hope he continues to do this, and I think Kevin Garnett, really, who is a guy of career, was very reluctant to come down and speak to the media, who really, you know, you almost had to kind of chase him down. What he's done is actually come, sat down and said, you know, I mean, obviously he seems a little bit older when he does this. He's wearing a sweater. He's got the facial hair. He just looks older. But what he's doing is sitting down and saying, hey, I'm part of this too. And you know, even though he can't come out and say it, he wants to own the team. And that he knows that Atlanta has to sell first, and then Glenn Taylor will make his decision. And I think what he's doing is taking ownership by saying, you know what, years down the road, I think it's going to benefit me that I played with these players. And I know the work ethic of Adrian Payne, who's another guy I have confidence Flip Saunders knows
Payne
what he's
good.
Doing.
Payne looks really good.
He's very raw. He moves too much, and I don't know how else to put it, but he's just like too excited.
It's so funny because he looks older just because of his balding, and I should talk because I have no hair, but the way he's balding and whatnot, and he kind of slouches over, he almost looks older than Kevin Garnett does.
Yeah.
We've seen him play several times in person. We love him. Double-double machine, basically. Mm-hmm. He's making a lot of... He's a first-round draft pick, but Kevin Martin under contract with a player option in 16-17. Justin Hamilton, do you see him being a guy that is coming back next year? Maybe a project that Flip Saunders likes? Lorenzo Brown? Any of these other guys? Anthony Bennett, I know, is under contract through 16-17 as well, but he drives me absolutely insane.
Well, what I'll say... let's address kind of pain in these big guys. Nikola Pekovic... I don't know how many games he can play. I mean, I think that ankle's messed up. And I think that's a situation where that guy benefited from Kevin Love.
Good thing we know about 60
that
million.
Ankle? What do we know about that ankle that is causing him so much trouble? I mean, literally, I've never heard of an ankle being this much of an issue for anyone that I've played football with.
No, I don't know. And I feel like that's something
it's incredible,
that,
whatever it is.
Yeah, it's, I mean...
Such a big body and such small ankles, I think, is the problem.
I've seen
his legs
seen a lot of big guys.
Big.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, too. And running on hardwood instead of a football field is a lot different thing, too. But I've never heard of something this ongoing and from season to season.
It, at the very least, it concerns me that, hey, you need to have other big guys. So this means in the draft, that's what you're looking at. And not only that, but you need some supplements. So I think Gorgui Jang, I think we know what he can do. I think he's going to be a backup. And I know Flip is still kind of leaving the possibility open that he could be a starter. I think he's a guy that you use situationally where they're kind of playing small ball because he can block, but he doesn't have the size. Even, you know, like Brooke Lopez and even some of the, you know, it doesn't have to be DeMarcus Cousins. Anyone who's a little bit bigger basically just kind of nudges him aside like their little brother and dunks on him, you know? And I think Anthony Bennett has the most upside, but I don't know if he'll ever reach it.
He's lazy.
I know, and he drives you nuts, and I'm guessing, but it's probably because he's putting on weight. And it was a guy...
Wait again?
Well, you can kind of see it.
Looks lazy. He takes those long twos. He's making $11 million a year.
And he does the weird he does that weird dribble thing where he looks like a point guard, kind of. And
he thinks he's somebody other than what he is. He's a tweener. He's not a big enough guy to really be a four. He's way too chubby and long and lanky and slow to be a three. I hate these tweener guys that the Minnesota Timberwolves always seem to draft, whether it be a combo guard or a mid four, three guy.
I think he's trying to be the number one pick, and he feels like he has to put up points. And like I said, at the end of the day, when that team that drafts you trades you, does not matter anymore. You are everyone else, and you have to go prove yourself. And I think if he can get that through, I think he could be a great player. Having said that, I think Payne has that raw athleticism.
He does.
He's like Zach LaVine, where you just have to trust that Flip. If you think these guys are going to pan out, you have to trust that Flip knows what he's doing. And like I said, I think people are going to look back on this era where you're like, why didn't they just play Lorenzo Brown and play Zach LaVine at the two? And I think it's because Lorenzo Brown, at best, is a backup, and you keep that guy around because you have a reliable backup, knowing that Ricky Rubio has a history of injury. And I think what you do with Zach LaVine is you play him at point guard so he learns the floor and learns how an offense operates, and then you move him over to the two so he learns how to... Flip does not like running plays for players, so he learns how to create offense within the offensive scheme. I think that's what they're doing with him right now.
Hit the open man when it comes around.
And it's frustrating right now to see it happen, because literally when he's a point guard, and I always tweet the stat out, Kevin Martin almost doubles him in assists. And you're like, that should not happen.
That's
your
amazing.
Point guard should have more. I think... I think over the long term, though, what Saunders has done is put LaVine in a situation where he doesn't have to win now, so he doesn't have to have a great point guard, and so he's just developing him. And Flip can't come out. He got so mad when the Jazz people said they were tanking. He's not tanking, but he's putting player development ahead of winning.
I agree.
That's what you should do now.
Well, it's a form of tanking. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if you're sitting down players to rest them when there's nothing at stake, I mean, I think that's smart. That's also management of players, and I think that's really a smart thing to keep them off the floor. If they're nicked, they're nicked.
It's also something he's been afforded to do because he's the president of basketball operations, so he doesn't have to win now because he's not coaching for his job.
I honestly don't think that it's tanking. It's a way around having to say tanked, but the younger kids are going to have to take the brunt of what's still left.
Yeah.
The older guys, if they had been into the playoffs or rather in the playoff hunt, rather, they would be in there right now. I mean, there's no question you would be playing them right now and trying to see what he can get.
No,
done.
I think this is smart. I think it's player development right now, because ultimately the other thing too is you don't want to get too ahead of Philly and New York, because really this team does need a good draft pick. They still need that big guy from the draft, from this kind of.
What do you like, the Kentucky or the Duke guy? We won't say their names. Do you like Kentucky's big man or Duke's big man? Let's just leave it at that.
Anthony Towns.
You can't say the name.
Say his name.
No, you can't.
No, it's "thee who shall not be named" is the Duke guy.
No, we want either one of them, I think.
Well, I'm going to go with the guy who should not be named, and I'm like Ben Holson, I'm not saying his name. Okay. You remember that.
Yeah. But Karl-Anthony Towns, I like him so much better, only after watching the Duke and Kentucky games these last couple of days,
because Karl-Anthony Towns
can hit free throws, he blocks shots, he plays defense, he can run the court, he can run the floor, he can shoot, he's got a great range, whereas "thee who shall not be named" offense is playing with his back to the basket. That's all the offense he can really do. He's playing against littler guys and these teams that aren't ranked, because Kentucky's the number one, and they're playing all these seeded teams that are so poor. I mean, Cincinnati, and then who did Robert Morris? I mean, these guys don't have anybody to go up
Hampton
against.
Or something like that.
The who shall not be there, or whatever it was. But it's unbelievable.
We've
got a couple of calls for you. Could you take a couple of Timberwolves calls? In fact, Superstar, you and I have talked about why the Timberwolves are not healthy, and we've talked about their training staff and this and that. And Jeff from Andover has a question about why the Timberwolves can't be healthy. Jeff, what's up, my man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, essentially, you're leading right into it. I'm just curious, what are the Wolves going to try to do to try to keep their teams healthy into next year? Because Flip at the beginning of the year talked about how they were going to do something different. Now, whether they did anything, I don't know, but obviously it hasn't worked. And I know they're holding some people out because, you know, they're trying to do player development. So, for this year, but why don't we spend some money, go outside of the norm and find some ways to keep players healthy? You know, look at Phoenix's training staff or do something different. It's been a long season as a season ticket holder to watch this craft.
I could feel you with that. I would say this. I think Greg Farnham actually is pretty forward-thinking, and there's been a lot written about him on ESPN and kind of even Grantland blogs. And I know they've partnered with the Mayo Clinic, and the hope is that, you know, the Mayo Clinic, obviously one of the best, you know, medical people around, figure out what to do with these guys. I think ultimately what you have to do is almost treat it kind of like I think they do this in baseball a little bit, almost like with a pitcher. Not that there's a strict minute count, but you really have to understand how many minutes these guys can play. Because the other thing with Wiggins, too, is you don't want to regret when he's 27 that you're like, well, why is Wiggins slowing down? And you're like, well, remember he was 19 and he was playing 40 minutes a game? Yeah, it maybe works when he's 19 and he's done things like, for example, he did this thing in P3 that it's down in Santa Monica. They go down with this guy and they actually evaluate like weaknesses in your body. And so they see, you know, like something structurally in his knee, and they find a way to kind of build up the strength there. Zach LaVine did that. I think Bennett did that too. And this is, I mean, you have to do things like that. You almost have to do kind of new age stuff. And I'm not talking about kind of crazy like quack medicine, but like you really have to be kind of upfront with this, because you have a lot of young players that you can't have get injured. Look at who's playing right now. And I think with a guy like Pekovic, you almost have to have a minute count. With Rubio, you can't, because you need that floor general. But I think this is why Lorenzo Brown's actually important. You want a reliable backup point guard, so that, let's say, you know, Rubio pulls Saunders aside and says, hey, I feel something weird in my ankle tonight. And he's like, that's fine. You know, I can slow down your minutes. That's what I think you have to do. And fans aren't going to like that, because they're like, hey, we want to, you know, see the best players every night. But I think you do almost have to limit minutes with some of these injury-prone players.
I agree. They have to find something that works, because it's far too often with this team that we see all of these guys injured, and for prolonged periods of time where they should be back, they're not. It happens again, then they're back in the tub again. So they've got to find something. Tom Schreier, thank you very much for joining, and we'll have you back in, I'm sure, soon. It's the wake up call, by the way. Anything on Sunday?
We don't know yet. We'll be on Friday. I'll know for sure. But we're definitely looking at guests. Excuse me, looking at guests right now and figuring that out.
Cool, and we're going to talk about the MLS and the surprising great new announcement that they are going to have tomorrow, the commissioner of the MLS coming to Target Field, and hopefully you send one of your guys out there because we want to know everything about it.
Yeah, we'll try to get Hallett out there.
MLS, look out, soccer's coming to the Twin Cities. What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
You kidding me? Build a stadium, let's go.
It's the number one sport in the world.
It is.
A lot of stadiums.
It is.
Time it comes to the homeland right
I'm
here.
I'm telling you. And then I'm going to start a little rugby thing, too. I want another rugby stadium.
Rugby is a great sport.
It is. It's coming up. It's in the Olympic Games, I think, next time around. Thank you for your time.
Rugby's for pansies, isn't it?
It is for sissy pants. That's what they all are. Every one of them. Sissy pants. Come on back. MLS soccer. We're going to talk about that. Are we really? Yes, we are. Radioactive Sports.
Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Minneapolis is on the short list. Lots of interest there. We've had strong, high level of activity with the current Minnesota United. A strong ownership group, very passionate group of guys that are very embedded in the community. We think they're smart. We think they're focused, and they're great community citizens. They really care about their city, and a lot of their interest is not just about the sport, but it's really about how can an MLS team really enhance Minneapolis with another top-level sports team. So, you know, we'd like more teams in the Midwest. Minneapolis is on the short list.
Yes.
Wow. MLS Commissioner Don Garber on soccer in Minneapolis.
A big announcement at Target Field tomorrow. We're going to try and get our guys down there.
He's saying what soccer can bring to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I say what Minneapolis can do for soccer in the world. That we can make soccer.
You know what we need? We need vuvuzelas.
Oh, we're going to hand those out. Those are going to be like prizes for all of our fans to call in. We'll probably be giving away Minneapolis MLS soccer tickets, I'm sure, someday. And I don't know. I intend to name the team as well. I want first shot. We call them the Slapnuts. Don't you think that'd be a really great name? You know what? Honestly, when it comes to soccer and the way they score and the way they can find a way to put that ball in the net, It's nothing short of amazing. They are pretty spectacular plays.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the plays are incredible. I mean, I love the World Cup when it's on.
Yeah,
it's
fantastic.
I think
anytime we can get another major league professional franchise here in town, absolutely bring it in. Give them a stadium.
Sure.
It's only going to be $150 to $200 million. Publicly finance that thing. Let's go. Look what it does for the community. Look what's happening in Lower Town, St. Paul. Tom Schreiber was just talking about that with the St. Paul Saints.
Yeah.
It's completely revitalizing that area.
It will.
Along with the Farmers Market, Target Field, the same thing around Target Center.
I guarantee you the Viking Stadium is going to just light the whole place up in that area, that whole area.
I want to say Sid Hartman wrote an article because the Star Tribune building is closing down. They're going to demolish it, put a new park there, or a ramp
and,
or whatever
and,
it is.
Yeah, parking area. The park and the big... I think it's the Wells Fargo, sort of the fan experience area, out in front of the stadium.
And he said he could remember back in the day when Washington Avenue was a place you do not go because it was so dangerous, it was so run down, crime-ridden, and look what these stadiums do to these... Look what the XL Energy Center did to St. Paul. St. Paul was dead.
It came to life. It came to life.
We're
they tore down
there.
The Civic Center, and I remember going to the Civic Center to different events, and now it's the XL Energy Center. And what a place.
We're down. Tom Reed's wouldn't be down there. We're down at Tom Reed's on Tuesdays, every Tuesday home game for the Minnesota Wild. All those bars and restaurants along West 7th, all the way down Kellogg. And
unbelievable.
It's revitalizing the whole area of St. Paul.
It is. I agree with you completely.
Is there another place outside of the Farmers Market area that doesn't need revitalization in Minneapolis, along if you go past the Loop area, which we both have restaurants that we absolutely love. And
love it.
The office is right there, just on the edge of the river, but... That area needs to be revitalized, and they need to put a stadium down there. And it needs to be publicly financed.
And at one time, I think they were actually talking about the Viking Stadium was all over the place, Arden Hills. And they were talking about even down south in Shakopee near Canterbury and Mystic Lake and all the different things that are down that way, too. I mean, and I want a truck pull stadium, and I want a tractor pull stadium. Not a truck pull, but a monster truck rally stadium. I don't want the tractor pull people in there with them. I want to just have two separate stadiums for this.
And then we also need a drag racing stadium type thing like they have in Kansas City and Denver. I mean, we need stadiums.
For hot rods.
We need stadiums for everything here.
Well, we need NASCAR. We need NASCAR for sure. Need a track, a raceway, a track for NASCAR.
How much do those cost?
Can you imagine
120,000 people or something fit in those things? I mean, that's
bigger than
the expensive
Super Bowl. Anytime they have one of their events, it's bigger than a Super Bowl in terms of what it draws.
We need everything. And the public needs to pay for it.
I'm all in on that one. I think the public should have to pay for the whole thing.
Roads, schmodes.
I think the public should have had to have paid for that entire Viking stadium, too. A lot of people are real happy I said that right now. I'm big on bringing the life to the cities, both Twin Cities, and I'm all for what they've done to Minneapolis. I'm glad it didn't go to Arden Hills, believe it or not. I'm glad it stayed right where it's at. You have to have it in the metro area. I just do. There's something about the vibe, the whole aura of that thing being downtown Minneapolis and the Xcel Center, the Xcel Energy Center being in St. Paul. I love it.
It's only $150 to $200 million. I mean, come on.
So pay for it. Just everyone relax.
Just pay it.
Pay the, you know, we're taxpayers. Let's just pay for that.
Big announcement tomorrow. Bill McGuire, he owns the Minnesota United FC, likely to be announcing that the MLS is expanding to Minneapolis.
Very likely, it sounds like.
Glenn Taylor, the poll ads, the announcement obviously at Target Field. They're all part of the ownership group. They have plenty of money. They can buy the stadium for Pete's sake.
I think they're okay.
Come on.
They're probably in good shape.
But we'll talk about that more tomorrow after the announcement is made. Obviously, we don't know if the announcement is this or that, but obviously it's going to be that they're not coming to town to say, you know what, Minneapolis, you look nice.
You know, you're on that short list. You didn't make it.
Yeah.
You didn't make it.
By the way.
You're on that short list for, like, next time around.
Because the commissioner comes to town to get booed and heckled and egged on his way out of town. That's what he loves to do. I mean, these commissioners love to come in pomp and circumstance and write in on it. I mean, he's already rented a camel. He's riding it on a camel tomorrow night.
He is.
And the funny thing is we're going to be...
Come up with your own thing.
We're going to be at Hubert's. So we're going to be right down right next door to this announcement. And so we'll see the camel
the
parade.
The camel come walking down with the commissioner. And then the street cleaner, the street sweeper will follow the camel because normally they'll always take a big dump. And then you have to clean up after the parade.
Yeah.
But yeah, we will be there for that. So I'm pretty big on that. And you know what? Commissioner Goodell, he's not like that. He's not a pompous, sort of arrogant guy that would want to be in the middle of everything.
Of course not.
So not all commissioners. You said all commissioners. Certainly not him.
I said all commissioners?
You did.
I didn't mean to generalize, because if there is a pious man among us, you know what pious means?
Yeah, of course. It's like a fruit juice, right?
Papyrus, I think, is what I meant to say then. No, but if there's a guy that's of the people... It's Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I mean, he's all about us.
Obviously, the last 10 minutes have been completely facetious. We got to take a break.
Yeah, all of it is. Let's come on back. Let's talk a little. Ooh, the top five best sports days of the year. Next.
The only pure sports talk station in the Twin Cities.
Welcome back, everybody. Radioactive Sports, Ben Holson, the superstar Mike Morris. Hey, listen, caller number 7.
Hold on a second.
Caller number 7.
Sure.
At 651-989-9105. Wins a pair of passes to the Progressive Insurance Northwest Sports Show this Wednesday through Sunday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Details at northwestsportsshow.com. Caller number 7 at 651-989-9105. Good luck, sissy pants.
I know you're like Will Ferrell. You remind me of Will Ferrell a lot.
Yeah, I read what I see on the teleprompter.
You read what you see, and so I put sissy pants on there.
And not on that one, though. I just went back up to the one that you did it on. I got you on that one.
I know, yeah.
But I did see it, and I thought it was a great one, because all of our listeners are sissy pants. Call me if you don't think you are.
It's not true.
Top 5 best sports days of the year. I think I can get pretty close to all that list.
Can you?
I don't know which ones are really the official. Are there numbers on these? Because this is something you put down. Are there actual numbers of the actually most watched?
What are yours?
Mine are the Super Bowl, the NFL draft.
You're copying my list.
Well, I'm just telling
you
what mine are.
Why are you copying my list?
Because you copied mine.
I made the list, and I put it down that we're going to talk about
this. You made the list
right
when you saw mine. You
I
copied mine
yours.
Down. Oh.
Okay, whatever. Number 1, the Super Bowl, of course. Me too. Number 2.
The NFL draft for me, absolutely. Jinx.
Okay, then
what could be
three.
Better? What could be better? Both days, by the way. I could almost list separate days, day one and day two.
Sure.
And actually get 2 days out
and
of that.
And day three.
Not
I'll
so much.
Go day four, even.
Yeah, not so much.
I will, yeah.
No.
I'll be glued.
I'll take one and two. Day one for sure. And
so we agree on number one and number two.
Yeah.
What about the rest? Number three. What do you have for number three?
I like, quite frankly, the kickoff, the season opener. The opening weekend of the NFL. That day is a very big day for me.
Mm.
I also like the college football national championship game. I love that as well. Okay. I really do.
What else? That's four.
So that's four, and I think probably now five is going to be tough.
There's so many sports days. I mean, I'm talking days.
Well, we're talking about, you know, you could come down to the championship for any sport, but that in baseball that's a series, in hockey that's a series.
But I'm talking about days that every single year you want to take days off for these because they're all.
I would say the first of the opening day of March Madness. I would say if that counts as a day, it's certainly more than that. But if you can count,
I'd say the opening 2 days or the weekend or whatever. But I think the NFL draft counts as the weekend. It's not just one day.
Okay,
but we can go. But the whole weekend for the NCAA March Madness. I mean, I know we worked on Thursday. We had Friday the show off. I was downtown on the North Loop area watching games, drinking beers. Amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Those are days I don't want to work.
I agree. I think the NFL, the Super Bowl, NFL draft.
I'd say free agency.
The kickoff, the NFL, the season opener, for the first weekend, not the first game. It's played normally like a day or two in front of the opening weekend. But I like the opening weekend when the NFL takes off and goes. I love that. And then I would go the college national championship game. I like that now that they've got it combined to make a national championship title
but
college football.
On those days, you can watch. You can go to work. You can do your whole thing. And you can go home and you can watch it at night.
Love it. I love that.
I'm talking about days that I want to take off because it's an all-day event.
Well, then you do have March Madness, the opener.
Yeah.
First week.
You want to hear mine?
Yeah. Yeah.
651-989-9105 if you have days you disagree with the superstar Mike Morris and I. But I say number one, Super Bowl Sunday. You copied me.
Got it. Number two,
the NFL draft. That goes the whole weekend. But I mean, it starts Thursday night, Friday. I mean, again, you can work those days and go home and watch the rest of the deal. But I mean, those are my favorite days to work here in sports radio, too, because we'll be all over what the Minnesota Vikings are doing. We'll have a mock draft and this and that.
The hype leading up to it.
It's
just
amazing.
Makes it so good. I mean, there's a countdown. There's a clock on right now for the NFL draft. If you go on certain websites, and I mean, they have a countdown going right now as we speak.
Number three, I would say NFL free agency. We worked that day. We were down at Tom Reed's. But remember all of the crazy moves that were happening and just to sit there on Twitter and watch.
This year it was fascinating. I might have to put that in as one of my days next year because if that's how things are going to start panning out, that's a good day because there was a lot of movement. And I mean, big players, when you look up on the screen like I did down at Tom Reed's and you see Jimmy Graham has been traded to the Seattle Seahawks, you're thinking, what just happened here?
Sam Bradford, Nick Foles. All that stuff is crazy.
It was crazy.
That's number three for me. Number four, Major League Baseball opening day because it signals the beginning of spring and summer. And obviously I'm talking Twins baseball because they're usually day games because it's so stinking cold here. But you've got all the baseball teams playing and it's great. Number five for me, the opening 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, whatever, the NCAA March Madness. I would say number six for me, New Year's Day bowl games.
Well, that's a great day.
You can sit around, excuse me, those
different games.
Sit around in your own filth, watching the games. You don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah,
number seven,
like a pigsty.
This might be surprising to you. Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I love watching horses and having beers and wearing the silly hat and no pants.
Well, I'm with you on that then too. I would like to copy that as well. The part about no pants, drinking beer.
What about NFL games on Thanksgiving? That do anything for you?
I love the two NFL games.
Three NFL games.
No. That's the Commie Pig game.
Mm-mm.
No, that's the NFL Network. That's the Commie
Pig
game. You're
a communist because how can you be against more football?
No. It's the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions day. We don't need the NFL Network and the big NFL to take over and say, this is another way we can make more money.
Are you part of the KGB?
I'm not.
What about all the day games, the NBA day games during Christmas Day?
I'm American. I'm a patriot of sort. You have two games on Thanksgiving. Don't reinvent the wheel. It's too many games. The doggone, the Lions and the Cowboys play on Thanksgiving Day, and I don't want it to be any other way. My dad said, well, you know, Dallas and Detroit play every Thanksgiving. Oh, it's just theirs? Yeah, it's always been that way. Then I would have to say, well, Dad, you going to watch the NFL Network game?
Yeah.
That's another game.
Yeah, perfect.
He would just say, what's this?
He probably didn't get the NFL Network down there in Iowa. They don't get a lot of things down there in Iowa.
I love the NFL Network. Don't get me wrong. Love the NFL. It was really a pretty good deal for me. But that's a communist game to watch.
And you're a communist for not liking
you,
more
don't,
football.
You know, you can't watch that game. But I'm with you on the Thanksgiving Day games, those two games. The other one doesn't even count.
I've handled dozens of balls.
Excuse you?
Did anyone ever really come out with anything on that?
Uh-uh.
I haven't heard a damn thing about the deflated footballs.
No, and the owners' meetings in Phoenix are happening right now. They're not talking about it. They're just hoping it goes away.
I think so, too, because New England won the Super Bowl, damn it. Crap the bed. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about, we got a little more NFL talk. I saw a little something in the paper today.
Something?
Wow. Los Angeles talk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Mr. Kraft is talking about not one, but two teams by 2016. Let's look at the calendar. It's 2015. We're going to have two more NFL damn teams in Los Angeles by 2016.
Perfect.
That's what Robert Kraft says. We'll come back and talk about that. We'll kick that one around for a while. You think we won't? On Radioactive Sports.
Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
No,
I don't have it. I have no idea.
A lot of people around this place are starting to think that perhaps I'm not the sharpest knife on the tree, that I'm not the brightest bulb in the drawer. You know what I have to say to people like that? You can put this in your pipe too, Holson. I don't care what you think. Here's what I have to say to you. Whatever. There. Turn that off. That's pretty good.
Who sings this song?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't have it. I don't have that.
Starts with a J.
Judas Priest.
No,
of course it's not. It's Jewel.
Yeah. Correct.
It's
No, you got it right already. It's not Jewel. Such a fun hater. Let's talk about whatever you're going to talk about.
You know, I was wanting to talk about the thought process behind Robert Kraft saying that there's a very good likelihood that there will be a team. No, not one team, two teams.
Possibly three teams.
National Football League teams, franchises in Los Angeles by
next year.
You'd think maybe 2020, 2022. Mm-hmm. No, next year, mm-hmm. 2016. Go ahead and call us if you'd like to venture into this one. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, are you kidding me? I don't see it even happening at all. And for the longest time, due to the fact that they've got the conferences and the divisions all squared away and all the regions pretty much covered, I don't know why they would try and change it or add anything to it.
I don't think St. Louis, even though Stan Kroenke is the guy that wants to build one of the stadiums and has the money to do it and the land, I think the St. Louis Rams need to stay where they are.
I do, too.
In St. Louis. St. Louis is a big enough city where they need an NFL franchise. However, if you're going to move a team to Los Angeles, why not just pop up the San Diego Chargers up in there and then a team that isn't doing very well because their stadium is just awful? The Oakland Raiders, move them back down to Los Angeles. If you need two teams, boom, there you go.
I agree. And I don't know if he meant Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, the guy that we saw and heard as he was smashed at the Super Bowl, saying all the wonderful things that he was saying. He doesn't go on to say that he's saying expansions.
No,
I think he's talking about
expansion.
Two teams moved.
Yeah.
And I think he's crazy. I mean, I've seen the Rams come from here. I've seen the Raiders go to Los Angeles and back to Oakland.
But it's going to be a new thing, new stadium. It's going to be something completely different. You saw what happened. I mean, around here, we're building new stadiums like crazy, and people go to the games and support the teams. It's new. People like new things. And so it's going to be better. It's going to be fine for a couple years anyway. But two teams in L.A., why do you need two teams? Why not start with one?
I agree. I agree with you, but Robert Kraft goes on to say in this article, I was sad 20 years ago when I came into the league, the two teams moved out of the L.A. market.
He was sad because he has a drinking problem.
It was just very unfortunate. I don't think it's good that we've let a generation of fans, young kids, grow up without a team in Los Angeles.
Completely agree with
that. It's not good for the NFL.
No, it isn't.
I really believe within the next year we'll have two teams in this market. I think there are good plans for that to happen. Mm-hmm. We have some really good options, and now we'll see what happens in the end game. He thinks that it's going to be there. I mean, they've essentially got every permit pulled to build a place, to build a
several places, really.
$1.6 billion stadium, much like the one they built in New York for both teams, the Jets and the Giants.
Is that the Stan Kroenke, whatever, however you pronounce his name? Is that that plan? Or is that the different plan? Because there are several plans being, you know, shot around the Los Angeles area.
There are several plans in the works to move the Chargers, to move the Rams, to move the Raiders, and those would be the most likely teams that could or would move.
Mm-hmm.
And how he's going to do that without tearing up what they've got going on for kids and for the next generation in those cities. I mean, what does that do?
But
I mean,
it takes away from the Midwest. Like 45 minutes away.
That one's, I think that one probably makes the most sense.
In Oakland.
And if the people are really that great a fan base, they'll slide up to Los Angeles or Anaheim or wherever they build this thing. To
and
see
Oakland,
their Chargers. And Oakland
for
is a pretty
NFL,
good haul. But
for the NFL, I know it's a haul, but it's like an hour flight, and there's $69 flights or something like that.
They have the 49ers right across the bay. So, I mean, the region doesn't lose anything.
Well, plus with the NFL... Well, the 49ers are now in San Jose, in that beautiful stadium that they have. But if NFL has to be embarrassed having a franchise play in the Oakland Coliseum where raw sewage runs through the dugouts. And I mean, that's how dumpy,
yes,
literally dumpy it is.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. Oakland Alameda. I've been in that stadium when all the lights were out. The power went out completely before the game. I had to be led downstairs to change by security guards with flashlights.
Did you have to crawl through raw sewage like they did at the... Remember that movie with The Rock? Or not with The Rock. It's called The Rock, but with... what's his name? Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
And Nicolas Cage.
Oh, man. Was that Broken Arrow? What was that?
No, that was The Rock.
It was The Rock. I remember that. No, I didn't have to. I visited The Rock, though. I've been out on Alcatraz.
Can I start throwing papers at you yet?
Pardon? No, don't do that. No, no, that's childish. That's really a childish thing to do.
Okay.
And you're not going to do it.
No. You asked me not to.
Man, you listened this time, didn't you?
You asked me not to.
Because you know better. Because I'm about ready to come over there and turn you wrong side out.
You can back that ass up?
I don't know. It's a lot of ass. But I would say that I think that Robert Kraft is probably in the know. He probably knows what the plans are. He probably knows the options. And it's probably very likely to happen. I don't know if it's within that time frame.
Robert Kraft is the guy pulling the strings for Roger Goodell. We found that out through Deflategate.
I really do think so.
We found that out through the domestic violence stuff through last season and Deflategate.
He also was the guy that was instrumental in bringing the lockout from three or four years ago. Remember when Christian Ponder was locked out? And all the Vikings and all the league was locked out. You remember that, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what really kind of got Christian off to a bad start because they handed him his playbook and said, go back. They were locked out. But I'll tell you what, it came down to Kraft working out something with the rest of the guys saying, let's just do it this way. And they bought into it and they did it. And it started the NFL on season. We didn't miss any games. But we were in trouble. We were looking down maybe a little strike where you would have missed some NFL games. Anyway, he's very influential.
And he makes good macaroni and cheese.
And... No, he does. It's not the same bunch at all.
What?
It's not the same guy.
Well, how did this guy make his money? Excuse me.
I don't know. I'm not really sure how he made his money. I can tell you how I made that, though.
Macaroni and cheese?
I have gas.
Obviously.
It's incredible. Let's talk about the sillier side of sports.
Let's get out of here.
And then I'll give you a true superstar to end the show on the right note. And we'll call it a wrap, okay?
Okay.
Let's do that next. And quit throwing paper wads at me, you jackass.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports, 105 The Ticket.
It's too bad. She was a good kid.
She's no longer with us.
It's a shame when things like this happen, but such is life.
So young.
So young, and... she's no longer with us.
And I don't know how I'm going to get through.
I know
the rest
a lot of people are wondering right away who in the world they could. Are we talking about? Well, Sam Sansevier is no longer with us.
What happened?
She's going away.
What do you mean she's going away?
I'm still here, you guys.
I'll be darned if you're not. I'll be damned if you're not. She's right here.
Is it a ghost?
Funny enough, I mean, I thought she was gone, and she just appeared.
No, but seriously, she's here for 12 more minutes, and then she go night-night.
Yeah, I know it.
Well,
I think it's just a sad story. Do you want to tell us what has happened in your life?
I am no longer with you.
Jeez.
It's upsetting. You were here.
How lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. She is. No, but you were here answering the phones from day one of this radio station.
I answered phones the very first day that this show was on the air.
Indeed.
Now you've graduated to your own full-time position on another radio station where you are growing into your own producer role.
Big plans.
I am growing. I'm flying away. I'm flying out of the nest.
And we're going to miss you because you are the best assistant producer that we've ever could ever dream of. Honest to God. We're not just saying that to you because you're sitting in front of us.
You are good, young lady. Yeah. You are very good. You're going to do well. And I suggested to Ben, he informed me earlier today that it was your last day here at the station, at this station. And I said, then we've got to get her in here. She deserves a send-off, and we're going to do that.
Is that what we're doing right now?
I just want her to go now. We're sending her off. I want you to tell us what you've got planned now ahead, and how did this all come about? And you don't have to name anything.
But what direction
you're going with your radio?
Well, I'm going to be like Ben said, I'm going to be a morning show producer.
Bang.
Yep.
Nice
for
gig.
a lovely talk station at another lovely company.
Well, morning radio is a good time slot.
So your dad's
been getting up at what time? I want to say 4:01 because he doesn't want to get up before 4:00 for years and years and years. And now you're going to do that.
Yes.
Did he give you any advice and say, "What are you doing? That's so early"? Or do you get to borrow his My Pillow that we hear about all the time, the commercials, because the best sleep that he's ever had? Because you're going to need your beauty rest now. Because, I mean, there's literally no time to sleep when you're up at 3:30 in the morning, getting ready for the job, doing the thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Still going to school, by the way.
So are you going
to
remain in school, though?
I am still in school. Well, good. I'll be done around 10 a.m. every day still. So, it leaves my whole day open for school.
You've got school. You've got the farm. I know you have some other things in the works. You're a busy gal. And we're just so excited for you. Sad to lose you because you're such a great asset to have, and you've done an amazing job for us. On the other side of the glass, you make my life easier. I don't know about the superstar.
I would imagine. I think she's wonderful. I want you to know that I think that. I've been giving you a bad time. I've razzed you from day one because that's what I do because I'm a jackass. But I think you're fantastic, and I think you deserve a send-off, and I wish you well on your journey. And if any time our roads cross again and you have a chance to work with us again, I sure hope we're lucky enough to get you.
Amen.
You guys are going to make me cry. I think that it's worth mentioning that for the past couple months, everybody has to know that I've been calling Mike Bear Paws. That's worth talking about. Right. Every time I see him, I just hold up my hands like little claws and call him Bear Paws because he has the biggest bear paw I can. So he's just so big and furry.
Oh, man. You got that right. I'm a mess. And you know what? It's just been a joy just to shake your little hand and see you walking around this place. And just this tiny little hand. But
just like Kristen Wiig wears on the show on Saturday Night Live, those teeny little hands, that's what you have. They're like miniature doll hands.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're awesome.
You're the best in the business.
Sam, yeah.
I wish you well, and I hope that we can get you back someday, somehow, some way.
Me too. We'll work on that.
But thank you for being part of the show.
Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it.
She's good at what she does.
Now I need you to go back over there and make sure that Zach doesn't screw anything up. Because he's the guy that's going to be here now.
And tell him that he has to go through what you go through. Tell him to put his last name on his ball cap with masking tape. And to address me as Superstar Sir.
Mr. Bear Paws.
Mr. Bear Paws. Yeah. Go get him right.
All righty. Okay.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Sam.
Sam Sansevier. So she's been doing this for a while, and I think she's going to be really good down the road.
She's going to be amazing.
Someone's lucky to have her aboard.
She's going to be amazing.
Yes, indeed.
How we ever let that go? It's unbelievable.
I don't know. it just happens. It's part of the
Happens in life. It happens in life.
Such is life.
Sillier side of sports, though, just wrapping things up here just for just a minute or so. Had a few minor disagreements with the New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton last year, but Rob Ryan, still considered by many to be one of the better defensive coordinators in the NFL. According to his brother Rex, though, the only thing stopping him is his hair and his gut.
Nice for him to drop a good word in for Rob.
Yesterday,
nice for him to say
Phoenix.
That. Well, you know, I mean, Rex had a gut for a long time. Probably had the hair a little more under control.
Not as aggressive as this guy.
No, I mean,
unbelievable.
Rob is a little out of control, but I think that's the mentality of a defensive line coach. Just about half crazy. And I've known a lot of defensive line coaches that were kind of girthy, too.
Aren't you glad that you're not the New York Mets? Just a terrible baseball team, by the way. Their opening day starter, usually the best pitcher on their team.
Yes.
42-year-old Bartolo Colon.
You got to love that that's their best guy.
I mean, last year had a pretty good year, 15-13, 1.226 whip, became a U.S. citizen after the season, becoming the first New York Met to accomplish anything in October in over a decade.
And he's going to lead off.
Yeah.
At 42.
He's fat, too.
Well, I mean, that must be, yeah, of course he is.
And then finally, one guy stands to win $25,000 if Kentucky wins the national championship, if they finish 40-0. He made a $500 prop bet back in August. The 50-1 odds for Kentucky to go undefeated this season. And then one person placed a $500 wager at the 50-1 odds. So another person staked the hefty sum of $2,500 or whatever. Undefeated season in September. He's got 20-1. All these people making bets. You should put money down that the Minnesota Twins are going to go undefeated this year. I can't even imagine what the odds would be. But you could be rich.
Oh, think about that. Undefeated. But can you imagine calling that shot that Kentucky would not only would be undefeated? But there's a prop bet for that.
But of the other, most of the college basketball teams, you would think them or Duke would have the best shot at going undefeated if it happens.
Of course. But
$500 bet to just say, here's $500, this might happen.
Some people have got that kind of money, though.
I wish I had.
Sam Sansevier.
Oh, Sam Sansevier.
She's got about $500. I would know if she's the one that's put the bet down on
that.
Well,
she's got the new morning show gig. You know, she's rolling in the cage.
I mean, that's the way it goes. It runs in the family. So, I mean, yeah.
Tomorrow, we're going to be at Hubert's. Join us from 4 to 7 before showtime. Kobe Bryant and the Lakers.
Showtime.
Kobe Bryant doesn't play very much anymore because he's injured. He's very frail.
The Lakers returned to the scene of the crime. Yeah. Minneapolis, where they began.
Hubert's tomorrow, 4 to 7. Join us. Take us home.
I have selected Army Specialist James A. Butts, 21, of Porter, Indiana, as my true superstar. He died September 28 in Mermandab, Afghanistan, of injuries caused by an improvised explosive device. He was assigned to the 1st Battalion, 505th Parachute Infantry Regiment, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne Division out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He is my true superstar, a 21-year-old warrior who paid the ultimate price and sacrificed his very life for you and I in this country. Army Specialist James A. Butts, please keep him in your hearts and prayers, if you would, please. Good night.
Passionate Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.